Hi, Tuesday at 6:30 on ESPN Las Vegas, 1100 AM and 100.9 FM, KWWN, Las Vegas. Cofield & Company NFL insider Miles Simmons from Pro Football Talk joins us now.
Squeeze, 5 o'clock hours here, UNLVtickets.com, where you can get tickets to the Summer League. Four games coming up this evening. Eight games a day. July 22nd, it all closes. And if you've been here to the Thomas and Mack and Cox Pavilion, you know these are cool venues to watch the basketball games. And as I say every year, it's the NBA National Convention here. Anyone who's played basketball, thought about basketball, watches basketball, they're all here. The watching basketball part, there's a lot of you here. Seems to be a lot more of the people who played basketball, because everyone's gigantic.
It's a very giant scene here. A lot of giant youths as well.
Oh, man. So many just people, who like kids who are just kind of stretched out. Mm-hmm. You see a kid, you're like, he's 6'3". I think he's 11. What's going on here?
The other thing
those
is,
aren't my genes.
Tall hair is kind of coming back, right, as a style.
Helps.
So that it makes a lot of these people look a lot taller, too.
I wish I could have tall hair. I wish I ever had tall hair.
Yeah, I got rid of my tall hair.
I thought Mike Gundy, there was one of the things that really wasn't covered. I wonder why. With Mike Gundy, I thought he had very much tall hair, like a helmet of hair, but he didn't get the shine for his hair that he deserved because he started talking about drinking four beers on 1,000 occasions and driving.
Might distract you from
that took us
from the hair
that
conversation.
Miles Simmons is with us. Miles, we're all over the place as always, but it's very pointed. It's very directed. What's going on, buddy?
Not too much, man. I mean, I'm taking a break from playing in it's not NCAA anymore. I'm not going to make the same mistake that Patrick Mahomes made today. College Football 25 by EA Sports in order to talk to you for a little bit. So let's get this going so I can get back to my dynasty.
Not real quick. Much like Twitter, it's always just going to be NCAA football. It's so much easier
to
say.
It really is, and it's what we're all used to, you know? All of us that are of a certain age that played the game and have had it for the last 11 years have been calling it NCAA 14, which is what it was. But now it is EA Sports College Football 25, and I suppose I don't even need to keep saying it because I already bought it, so I don't need another copy, unless they want to give me one next year, so I don't know.
I'd be down with that. Who did you start your dynasty with?
I am currently the offensive coordinator at Kansas, so I feel like that's, you know, a program where You gotta at least start somewhere, and then that's where you start building yourself up.
You've got good personnel to work with.
No, I'm not
a good head coach.
I'm not a gatekeeper like me, a tried and true. I started my dynasty with Charlotte yesterday as head coach.
Oh, so, wow.
You know,
but you started as a head coach, right? Yeah.
That is true.
And Miles doesn't get to do that. You understand?
I mean, it's a very good point. I mean, the real hardcores are like offensive coordinators for Kennesaw State. Like, that's the real way to start.
Right. Yes. I don't need to go that far, right? I mean, like, and probably coach somewhere in the MAC to start out as a head coach, yep, and then we'll move up from there. We'll see.
I don't want to sound old because I know nothing about this game. You're randomly choosing these positions in your dynasty? Or does it choose for you? Like, you should be able to put your qualifications in and your numbers in, and then they're like, sorry. You're the recruiting coordinator at a D3 school. You got about 11 years of playing this game until you can be a head coach, my friend.
Sorry. No, you do. You choose your own stuff, you know, whether you want to be a head coach. You can choose to be the head coach at Georgia if you want to, but, I mean, come on. Like, you should never do that. Do you want to play the game or not?
Yeah. You have to have a sense of realism. Like, UNLV transitioning to the SEC this year for me, like, that's, you know, that's realistic.
Yeah, it sure is. I mean, hell, I might put the whole Pac-12 back together. I haven't decided yet.
Oh, you can do that.
Oh, yeah, you can reconfigure conferences. Oh, yeah. You can do everything.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
This game
is
wonderful.
This is awesome.
Any gaffes in the game, John?
Yes. So, big one. UNLV, did they not do something with the NIL? Because their starting quarterback is somebody named, like, Joseph Fernandez.
Are there real quarterbacks on the game?
Wow. Oh, yeah. All the players are in. All the players are in. Jackson Woodard is my middle linebacker.
He must not have opted in then. I mean, and this is the thing that is interesting to me, because this was a bit of a story last week when Arch Manning elected to opt into the game after he had said, he told a reporter, or somebody had told a reporter back in March, you know, he doesn't need to do it because he's concentrating on football. And it's like, brother, you don't have to do anything for this. All you're going to do is get $600 and a free copy of the game. Like this, you're not doing anything, which is why players all around the nation have done it. And what I wonder is, you know, now that the game is out and people are seeing, like, hey, I'm not in it. I want to be in it. Like, are they going to, is EA Sports still going to allow them to be in it? Can they still get that $600 and the free copy of the game? Or is it now like, hey, man, deadline's passed, but you can have $500 because you weren't out at launch? I don't know.
I mean, I want to do some journalism, and I need to reach out to UNLV and see what's going on. I mean, I would just maybe because two of the quarterbacks are FCS transfers. Maybe that's something.
I don't know. I don't know. But would that have much to do with it? I think, honestly, it's just if you opt into the game or you don't. I think it might be that simple. But I frankly, this is not my beat, so I don't actually know that for a fact.
Miles Simmons from Pro Football Talk. We would spend all 20 minutes on the college football game.
I'm a walk-on in Florida, by the way, too. So.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I haven't started my road to glory yet. Yeah. No. Sorry, Steve. You can go on with whatever what it is that you really want to talk about.
Real quick, shout out to the person. Yesterday I was also playing online, and I was down 14 to some kid, I would assume, playing as Memphis. Tied the game and then picked him off on the ensuing possession. He quit in the third quarter. So, yeah, like, play it through. Come on.
Rage.
What does that do?
I get a win.
Nice.
But you don't get the stats.
You
get
you do.
The full game. I'm saying you don't get full game stats.
No, you have an online record. So.
Does that happen often, Miles, when you're playing people you don't know, they just bail?
I got to be honest with you. I rarely to never play online. I'm big into just like focusing on my dynasty and just going at it that way. Yeah.
You're a program builder.
I am.
One last point on this, because Adam Hill brought this up with, I think, Ricky White, the UNLV wide receiver, was sitting down with us. And Adam was talking about being more of a CEO type coach because he's going to be a great recruiter. I don't buy it. I don't buy it.
I don't
Miles?
Either. No, I don't. I mean, that is one of the things you can do now is that, you know, you can more evenly distribute your coaching abilities throughout the thing. I mean, for me, I'm all about making sure that, A, you are a good recruiter, but you also, I think, need to be a good tactician, you know, and scheme it up with the X's and O's. And then you have the motivator archetype as well and all that different stuff. So I don't know. I'm right now trying to be a really good recruiter as well as being really good at the X's and O's. But the X's and O's to me are a little bit more important. So we'll see how that turns out. That's one of the great things about this game. I mean, nobody's really going to be the same in the way that they coach it, right? Or in the way that they approach their dynasty. That's what they've tried to do, and I really respect them for it.
Adam would be a terrible coach and recruiter because he would follow the rules, first off. While everybody else is breaking the rules, he would sit there and scream that it's unfair while I'm going under the table in a closed window and recruiting away his offensive lineman from him. And he would get mad, but guess who's playing for me? He'd be terrible.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think you make a good point there, JVT.
No rules. Have you been watching Receiver?
I have not. You know,
come on, it's been 2 weeks. What are we doing?
I know. I'm enjoying my summer, Steve, man. Look, the Chiefs started reporting to training camp today. It is July 16th. What the hell are they doing? I mean, I understand that they're starting the season earlier than everybody else, basically, right? Because they play the on whatever Thursday that is right after Labor Day. But geez, Alou, guys. You know, Patrick Mahomes is talking at a press conference today, and I think he even said, this is as early as we've ever reported, like, man, oh, man, like, let's give it another week before we really get out of summer here. You know, I need another good week of summer so I can start, you know, really feeling like, okay, football can come back.
I've had multiple people tell me Devontae Adams comes off as less than impressive, I will say, in the documentary.
Well, the clip I've seen, you know, is where he's like, man, I got to get the bleep out of here because I've never been so hit so many times in my life. And that is something that does intrigue me. So I do want to kind of watch it just so I can understand what happens there.
There was also the conversation, you know, midseason about Garoppolo hitting the bench. And in Receiver, he talked about giving the okay for that. He also said if things don't change or things are going to have to change for me to remain a Raider. So the last 10 days have been filled with speculation that the Raiders could move Devontae Adams. Then he comes out yesterday and says, this is baseless and unfounded speculation. No, I'm sorry. That's his agent. Agent, this is baseless and unfounded speculation, and Devontae is expected to be with the Raiders, as there has been absolutely no talk, period. Well, it's not unfounded, because in the show last year he was talking about stuff's going to have to happen for me to remain a Raider. He started that. Yeah. It's not unfounded.
It can't be baseless or unfounded when it comes out of his mouth and it's on a television show, right? And if the television show just got released, no matter when it the footage was captured, like, that's going to be a point of conversation. And it's like, I understand why that is a point of conversation. I also understand why the agent would refute it, but it can't be baseless and unfounded when it comes out of the player's mouth. Like, that, those two things are extraordinarily incongruous.
And Adams is good enough with the media. Like, he knows what he says and he knows what he's doing. So when you say signed off, you know what I mean? It sounds, he knows what he's doing. And I think that was true. Like, they went to him and he approved it.
Yeah. And that's one of those things where, look, I mean, once you have a new head coach, right, who is trying to basically change the entire vibe of what things are going to be. And I think Antonio Pierce successfully did that, right? I think we can all say that. He absolutely earned the right to have the full-time job. I mean, that's something that you're going to want to do. You want to get the buy-in of all the players. So even if you are asking, you're asking in the sense that you want to make somebody feel good about something, even if you're going to make this decision anyway, like, that's kind of leadership. I've been in situations like that, you know, where somebody has kind of asked but told me something, and you're like, all right, yeah, that's fine. Like, I agree with the decision, but are you really, quote unquote, signing off on it? I mean, maybe you are, maybe you're not, but I think that that's probably a move that the Raiders are going to make anyway, because everybody with eyes could see that Jimmy Garoppolo was not doing very well for the Las Vegas Raiders in 2023.
Unless I missed it the last couple of hours, because as I was putting together our notes today, one of the players who was in the first round who was still not signed was Rome Odunze. Well, he has signed. He signed about 4 hours ago. That was announced. I missed it, McCarthy and Caleb Williams is not done yet. I want to get to Caleb Williams in a second, but your guy Florio made a really good appearance, at least a clip I saw, on Dan Patrick to explain, because a lot of people – you know, when we look at this,
Williams is done, by the way.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Four years, fully guaranteed, $39 million, 25.5 signing.
Okay. So a lot of people were reacting to this by saying, hey, it's all slotted. What is there to haggle over? And Florio explained there are a couple small details. Like, a big one is, when and how do I get my bonus up front? Like, do I get it all up front, or is it a year from now? Is it split up? Some of that stuff. So if anyone's wondering, there is some haggling that goes into this, and I thought Florio did a really good job on DP.
Yeah, I mean, those are the things that he does know very, very well, as he's obviously going to tell you at some point. He's a lawyer, and he practiced law for many years before then starting Pro Football Talk, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, so one of the interesting things here is that Caleb Williams is officially representing himself, and one of the things that came out over the weekend was Caleb Williams said, somebody asked him about the contract, and I forget what outlet this was at, and I apologize for that. But what Williams said was, you know, I'm not really handling that. I've got lawyers and business people, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, that's not really allowed, because you are supposed to be handling this yourself if you do not have an NFLPA certified agent, which he does not have. And, you know, yeah, like you said, there are a few details that, you know, can get haggled over. And a lot of the time when teams have not reported to training camp yet, then they will report and then these things get done. That's kind of the way that they were. And that's exactly what happened with the Chicago Bears today. So I don't know exactly where things, went off course, you know, where Caleb Williams would say something like that. And then the Bears responded by saying, well, we're only dealing with the player, which is something that they basically have to say to cover everybody's ass. But it may or may not have been true. So that's where, you know, you see it today. He gets the contract done. Yes, makes a lot of sense. They reported today, and they need to get this done. And there's the player wants to get it done. The team wants to get it done. That's why it gets done on the day they report, because you can't have this hanging over you as you try to start practicing, because the Bears obviously want to do as well as possible this season, and they should be in the mix for division championship if everything goes well. This can't be a distraction, and now it's not.
Miles Simmons from Pro Football Talk is up on Kofi and Company as we're hanging out at the NBA Summer League here on a Tuesday. John Von Tobel is in as the company. Now, double-checking everything because as of the beginning of the show, Brandon Ayuk officially asked for a trade. There was also a story on their site that said everyone calling the Niners have told them Ayuk is not available. Is this just going to end with, as a memory, basically, like he's playing this year, you're going to play on your contract, or can he force their hand and get moved?
I don't think he's got enough leverage to force their hand. I mean, this is sort of a similar situation to what Deebo Samuel went through a couple of years ago when he was going to hold out. He requested the trade, blah, 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 blah. Ends up at, you know, right at the end of training camp, just before the end of training camp. I can't quite remember the exact date. Deebo Samuel signs a big extension with the 49ers. On we go. I mean, I don't know if this is going to end up in the exact same way with a Brandon Ayuk. I mean, Deebo Samuel could still get moved, right? They did draft a receiver early on, and so that's something that the 49ers definitely can consider when you have another guy like a Brandon Ayuk and a Deebo Samuel. One of those guys might get moved, especially because you've got Brock Purdy coming up, and he's going to command a pretty penny and a significant raise right after the season, upcoming season. And so with all that in mind, I mean, I think Brandon Ayuk is going to be playing for the San Francisco 49ers in 2024. I don't think it makes sense from the 49ers standpoint to move him because they are trying to win a Super Bowl this year. And so even if you are offered a first-round pick, multiple first-round picks, how does that help you in the year 2024 to win a Super Bowl and put a trophy in that case? It really doesn't, you know? So it behooves everybody in the situation to figure out a good compromise so that IU can get on the field and he can play, and the 49ers can do what they need to do to try and win a Super Bowl this year. Because, like I said, I just, you know, I know that Ayuk is only going to get paid, or he's scheduled to get paid, let's call it $14 million, just over that. And the issue then is, well, the 49ers can franchise him next year, so that means it's about $28 to $30 million over the next two seasons. And that is vastly underpaying Brandon Ayuk. So I get it from his standpoint where he's saying, hey, man, I need to be paid a little bit more than this because I am one of the premier receivers in the game. You know, I had over 1,300 yards last year. I've got incredible chemistry with your young quarterback and Brock Purdy. This is something that needs to be addressed. But by that same token, the 49ers can look at it and say, well, based on all of the mechanisms we have, you know, we don't need to pay you X much more than what we are already scheduled to pay you because this is the way the system works. So again, I think that this ends up being more like the Deebo Samuel situation where something will get worked out and Brandon Ayuk will be playing football for the 49ers this year. I know that, you know, the Steelers, Commanders have been said to be interested, la la la, but I believe the 49ers when they say that they don't have any intention to move him. And in order for them to move him, they would have to be really, really blown away.
Are the 49ers approaching maybe some rough water, Miles? I mean, we have this. We have that Ricky Pearsall was placed on the non-injured list, I believe, or the non-football injury list, excuse me, today. Saw news of that. The NFC's getting better. Do we see them take a step back dealing with all of this as we head into training camp?
I mean, they certainly could. I think that the Rams are still going to be a threat in the NFC West. I mean, if they don't win the NFC West, I think we can anticipate that the Rams offense is going to be good enough for them to at least make the playoffs. We'll see what happens with Seattle, their defense, you know, with Mike McDonald coming over from Baltimore. In theory, the Cardinals should also be better in their second year with Jonathan Gannon. So they may take a step back, the 49ers, but I don't think that that means they're going to be, you know, on the outside looking in, right? They could be in a situation sort of like where the Eagles finished last year. And I don't mean in the sense that you have like, you know, a 5-game losing streak, whatever it was. I just mean that their record could be similar, but they could still go into the postseason. You know, maybe they don't win the division. Maybe they just get a wild card spot. And they can still make noise that way. But yeah, I mean, I think that it is going to be that much more of an uphill climb for them this year, just because we understand, I think, now with another year in, of who Brock Purdy is, right? How do you counter what that defense is with the Fred Warner, Bosa, and all that? Like, I think it's not necessarily easier for teams to understand, but they have another year of understanding of what that should look like.
Watch out for those Cardinals.
You're bullish on the Cardinals. I like
it.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. Really?
Kyler.
Wow.
I mean, from from the prism of like a team with a win total where they're at and whatnot, right? Like, I don't think they're winning the Super Bowl, but I do think that they're going to be a lot better than people expect them and the betting market expects them to be.
Okay. I mean, I'm not a big believer in Kyler Murray, so we'll see if he proves me wrong.
You're not. I'm multiple times pitched the Raiders getting in on Kyler Murray, stealing him away from the Cardinals, and you freaking reject him. You slap me off the glass multiple times.
You also
times.
Pitched that the locker room would fall apart because Colt McCoy got let go.
That one changed quickly. That was a bad prediction. Yeah, sometimes you miss. You know, we're paid to give opinions, not to be right all the time. Did you go see the Rolling Stones?
I did, yes. That was last Wednesday, I guess it was. Yeah, no, they were excellent.
No
it
way
was a great
was
show. Oh,
John
come
said there's
on.
No way that was good.
What are they, like
come
95?
On.
There's no shot that was good.
He's 80. Mick Jagger's 80. Keith Richards is 80. He's in his 80s. Ronnie Wood's great, too. I can't believe you just said that, man. That was my third time seeing him. I first saw him in Buffalo in 2015. Then they were here at SoFi, I think, in 2021. Each time, it's been a great show. Mick Jagger has got incredible energy. I want to have that much energy when I'm 80. I don't know that I will. It's amazing that we've still got them. If they come around again, I will see them again every single time.
Miles, you're the man. Positivity. Overflowing. Love it. We'll see you,
I'll
buddy.
Try. All right. Take care, guys.
Miles A. Simmons up on Twitter. Pro Football Talk and Peacock. They're coming back. PFT. How about we this show really – because I was going to go negative two, and then I'm like, you know what? Good for Miles. Good for Miles. Because my negative is – and it's actually a positive for us. There is something they're taking, right, that maybe will be inexpensive enough that we can take – when we get to, if we all make it to like 70,
yeah, cocaine.
They're taking something, right?
Cocaine.
I don't think that's the way it works.
It's not inexpensive, but you can, I can get you some.
What do you walk the line of death with Yayo for 50 years and like after you've done it for a certain point, your body's yeah. like, yeah, I made it. Yeah. Now you get to live forever. Yeah. Because they're not just alive,
they're thriving.
They're still doing this. They're 80. In 81, this is insane.
I don't know. Like, here's the thing. We didn't see the concert. There were probably songs where they were sitting down. They probably weren't moving a ton.
I think Jagger still moves a lot.
I don't know. I'd have to see this. And study the film. Probably a lot of different ways. You know, they have those things that they put in your pants. It's the same thing for the performers on Fremont Street.
Sure.
Where it looks like you're, like, hovering in air, but in reality, it's pretty much like a chair that's in your pants. Probably okay. Do that.
I mean, if you could have a probably camera exhausted. On how many times they defied death between Keith Richards, like just whatever, 1968, here's one in 74. How many times would it have been between the two of them? Hundreds?
Probably. They include self
and like I said, I've seen older singers. Like I appreciate, you know, artists. And when you see them 68, 70, 72, 74 – they're all a little bit different. There are some where you're like, okay. Like, it's not really happening anymore. And Miles is raving about him, so.
I
just don't believe it.
I have to see it to believe it. I want to see footage. If he's just standing there singing, it doesn't count.
The power is, well, according to John, is always with the youth. That said, apparently not for Bronny right now, man. He is getting just slaughtered by people. We'll address Bronny and Dad LeBron and all that's going on here at the Summer League.
The NBA Summer League is here, and ESPN Las Vegas is live at the Thomas & Mack.
Now, there is a top 100 list that is coming out from ESPN people, and I'll tell you what, it is the epitome of everything that everybody hates about ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
What they chose to do in ranking the top 100 athletes of, like, 21st century, they only gave us, like, 50 to 100 yesterday. What a show. Mm-hmm. What an absolutely terrible list. We don't get fooled.
I like it. John was just cracking on the Rolling Stones because Miles Simmons went. Sam, the Who, up here. But I want you to stick with a theme here. We don't get fooled again. Right? And
never going to a Rolling Stones concert.
No. What McAfee was just saying there. I'm going to explain the McAfee thing in less than five. I am so distracted right now. Not because of what's going on here at the Summer League, which is really cool. It's a great setting. The game's being played right now. There's so much coming down on all of our information portals. I will put this in the grab bag. I'm not even going to mention it because I'll probably forget it, but I'm going to keep this here. Here's this note. And I will get to McAfee, I promise. I was just asking you during the break about your oldest son, because I saw some pictures of you guys on Instagram, and I was like, whoa, they're getting big, but especially him, you know? And I always like having John on. John Montobel's here with us. John gets to do a few shows here and there, because now he does 3-6 over at VSIN. Gets to do a few shows with us. And I always think, when I was around John, he came across as a pretty good dad. The stories you told. Discipline. And I've been thinking about LeBron a lot. And Bronny. And you sent over a note. And you're echoing something I said last week. I feel bad for Bronny right now. He's not a true pro prospect right now. He needed to stay in college and play a few more years. But then the dream of dad and son playing together wouldn't have happened. So I feel like they've rushed this whole thing. And it's not good. He's just not ready. He's a 6'1", 2 guard, even in the summer league, where these are pretty high-level pro basketball players, and many of them are going to be stars. He's having trouble keeping up. Some of the air balls he's throwing are unbelievable. I'm not here to rip on Bronny, because I think he's a victim. No, I think LeBron did him dirty.
100%. When we talk about this story, it is always through the prism of LeBron wants to play with his son. LeBron wants that moment. LeBron wants to take the floor with his kid. LeBron wants this. LeBron will go to play if you draft his son. What does Bronny want? Is there any shot in the world that if he had a realistic like conversation where he was like, I think I kind of want to stay in college. Like, I think I want to just have the college experience. I don't think I'm ready. Because it puts him in this position where he is at the center of every single one of these summer league games in terms of attention. He is clearly not ready from a play standpoint. He doesn't look great. And he is the butt of every joke, every headline, everything. He's getting wrecked. And mentally, how that wears on him has to be insane. It will invoke Deion Sanders. Every win, I'm judged differently. Every missed shot, Bronny is judged differently. There are players here who have been terrible. Terrible. You have no idea who they are, what their names are, because Bronny James is the center of attention. They're putting him, I mean, Friday night, the open, like the primetime open or 5 p.m. on ESPN. What was the game? Rockets-Lakers. Lakers got wrecked. Bronny did not look good. I would love to get an honest answer from him as to what he really wanted in this situation. Because I would even say, and I don't like to play the psychologist thing, I don't know if you saw the video the day that he was drafted. He didn't look happy. He just sat there, just kind of nodded, and the headlines were like, Bronny gets emotional. I was like, I didn't see that. I saw a kid whose outcome was determined by forces that were outside of him, and like you're supposed to pretend like that's some sort of accomplishment. When in reality, maybe your agent was calling teams, whether that's truthful or not, the report, to force them away, to tell them he's going to go somewhere else if you draft him, to make it so that he could play with late. Like, it seems like every other force but Bronny James has made this. And I feel bad for him because he's in a no-win position no matter what.
This is not a complete bash of LeBron James. It's a critique, but it's a critique that a lot of dads need to hear. First of all, I'm going to cut this one off at the pass because we constantly have this MJ LeBron thing. I don't know that Michael Jordan was a model dad either. Fornicating an awful lot on the side, you know, as he was bringing up his kids. So I don't know what kind of role model he was. But in this case, it's something we talk about all the time, right? There is nepotism in this world with powerful people. And you know, everyone in the audience has been around someone who has been brought into a company, who is connected to someone powerful, and you're like, they can't do the work. Now, it's not always public. But I know in my realm, in your realm, in sports talk radio or broadcasting, I see it often where people are given a real free, easy pass into sports broadcasting, and you're like, they're not ready or good enough. They're embarrassing themselves. This is a different thing, though. You've got a polarizing athlete. His son has been gifted into at least part of the league with the summer league to start, and he's having a tough time. But you know what? Here's the thing. I'm not a dad, so we have a few dads on Cofield and Company. I lean on you, right, on these cases. You don't have to make these decisions yet. Your son is, what, 5 going on 6? Mm-hmm. Your oldest son. I mean, if he sees what you do in the future, 13, 14 years from now, right? Hey, Dad, I want to be around sports. I want to do radio. I want to do TV. I love it. Get me in now. What do you do?
I'd leak a report that he's on drugs so nobody would hire him and make it as difficult as possible.
But you always said stuff like that. But when push comes to shove and you can give your kid a head start, getting into the business, if that's really what he wants to do, you're going to make him take the harder road?
I mean, I can't
Or the right road?
I want to say that I would say yes, I want him to. I would say that, yes.
Right.
Talk to me again in 20 years when he's 25 and actually doing it, right?
Right.
But I don't even think the nepotism is the story. I think sometimes we fall into, like, there are the cliches that we know. And one of the cliches that we know that we see all the time, whether it's in movies or in reality, is the father who forces the child or the son to follow in his footsteps. And maybe the kid doesn't necessarily want to do that. And maybe this is just one of those things where the father's desires were so strong that he made it happen without really thinking about what he would put his child through to make his own desires a reality.
Right.
Like, this has all just been about LeBron and what he wants. I don't think I've seen a single question. And maybe it's out there. Maybe there's an exchange. But it's just like a simple, like, Bronny, is this what you want to do? Like, is this, do you want to play with your dad? Do you want to be in this line? Like, do you? And I do think, to be fair, because you said it already, he doesn't look like a pro now. I've said this very much, very often. The Lakers have a strong track record of drafting and developing guys. We've talked to a lot of people about this. I think even at last year's West Coast Conference Media Day, I think we brought it up with Lorenzo Romar or whoever, which was like, hey, the Lakers, like, they've got a strong track record. They do this. Look at all the guys around the league. Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Austin Reeves, Alex Caruso. We can go down the list of Lakers who were drafted, developed, and went on to be good players. So he's in a good organization to do that. But I just think from like a mental standpoint, from a happiness standpoint, what he's doing is, what's happening to him is so unfair. And I think he was put in that spot, in an unfair position, by his dad.
So back to the McAfee thing, because we could do this for a while, but we'll move on. Back to the McAfee thing, going at ESPN about their top 100 most accomplished athletes of the 21st century. He's hammering ESPN. He calls it an S show. People react to that, and they're like, oh, this is crazy how much ESPN lets McAfee beat up on him. Do we think conversations don't happen behind the scenes?
About, like, how he's going to criticize ESPN? I mean, I think something like this.
This is great publicity for this top 100.
Well, it is, but I would say this. This is not the example to use. I think that people, like, he's constantly bashing ESPN Bet. That's probably something that they don't like.
Probably not.
Yeah.
This, though,
right,
looks to me like a way to say, hey, I'm my own man. And two, what he must do now for the next 3 weeks while the sports world is on fire with topics, which is about seven people listening understand my reference there. I will explain it that sports talkers right now these 3 days are like, oh, so tough. What do we do today?
What's your favorite barbecue sauce?
Yeah, what do you want to hit on? We could do what's your favorite barbecue sauce, but it's not replacing, like, I have nothing else to talk about. There's plenty of things. But McAfee from here forward better never freaking reference that top 100 list. I like the last top 100, which was whatever it was, 30 years ago, mm-hmm, right? I enjoyed it. They did a better job this time of parameters, right? It's since 2000, athlete accomplishments. Doesn't necessarily say on the floor, off the floor, which I thought needed to be cleared up for the first time around. But I think the list is kind of interesting. I think there's going to be sort of goals within there to set people off. So it'll be interesting to see how they measure the number one athlete. To me, the WNBA part of it is kind of interesting.
Is Joel Wilson like top 50, right?
Well, right now she's 91st. I think they've done the top 50. You have the list in front of you.
Got it right here. I said that facetiously.
Yeah.
She was number 90.
Yeah, she's 90. Candace Parker, because they only released the top 50. Mm. Candace Parker, 60. Lisa Leslie, 74. Cheryl Swoops, 81. Lauren Jackson is 84. One on this list. I'm not going to flip out because Asia Wilson's still in the first third of her career, so she's probably going to match a lot of these players in terms of titles. And scoring and records. You apply, you and Adam Hill are very heavy on evolution, and you even apply it to players of the 90s with the men.
Mm-hmm.
Will you do that with the women?
Yes. Yeah,
like, do you look at this list and you're like, Lisa Leslie, ha!
Yeah.
Like, have women come that far in basketball? Because one of our buddies, Steve Kim, who's on Mondays, well, he'll always reference, he doesn't care about the WNBA, and he remembers the days of Lisa Leslie. Now, I don't, or he act, you know who he mentions a lot? Cheryl Miller. He was a player in the 80s. Reggie's sister.
They'd build statues of Asia Wilson if she played back then. She would destroy every single person on the court.
It's only been like 40 years.
That's a long time. If you're talking about, again, in this conversation always gets lost, but if you're talking about dropping Asia Wilson as she is now into the WNBA of whatever, 40 years ago, given the way that you can take care of your body, work on your craft, learn from the past, do all those sort of things, she'd be the best WNBA basketball player of all time.
Do you think for sure WNBA players now are more explosive, more athletic than, say, they were? Not all of them.
Right, I was going to
say they were than some of the best players in the 80s.
From what I don't think that the, like, the same level that you see, like, in, I think in the NBA, that's absolutely true. I think the top-tier WNBA athletes, yes. I don't think it's the case for the entire league as a whole.
I'll be convinced, I think, that there's like a mega difference in evolution in about another 15 years when I see 6'7 women playing center,
yep,
who move like Asia Wilson, who's 6'4.5, and when I see 6'3 guards who can dunk. They're coming.
Oh, yeah.
There's a couple high school girls, like, it's not, you know, taking a tennis ball and dunking it or ticking the rim. Mm-hmm. It's going in and throwing it down.
I would agree with that.
I think we're a little away from that, but I just wondered if you applied, like, you look at, you already said it. So Asia Wilson would go back, WNBA. Well, WNBA wasn't around in the mid-80s, but if there was,
right,
even on the collegiate level, she would average, you think she could do like 40 and 22.
Yeah, look what she's doing right now.
She's pretty good.
She's there's no question about who the best player in the world is right now. She's destroying everybody in front of her. Didn't she have like 20 and 10 in the first half the other day?
Now, she had a game recently with 24 and 20. She's had like 28 and 11.
And to me, that's the crazy part, is the improvement in her game. All of a sudden, she's like this dominant rebounder. She was never like a bad rebounder, but she's like a double-double machine now.
Well, she's also starting to face the basket and pump and go, which no one can defend her, especially if she's going to her left. And then she's starting to develop. I would say 2 years from now, she could probably be a 35% three-point shooter.
Sure.
Which, you know, again, you know, if you equate women to men, I don't know what, you know, Asia Wilson would be. I don't want to do a Mike Gundy, you know, body weight beers and BAC. But, you know, a 6'4 player feels like about, you know, 6'9 in the men.
Sure.
It's not like 7'2. That would be Brittany Griner. Or like, I don't even know what the – I talk about this lady all the time because I see her on video. This Chinese lady who's 17, who was 7'3, I hope she makes it to the WNBA. John, you have to see her. It's unreal.
I have not seen this.
I mean, she runs a straight line up and down the floor.
Okay.
But she just puts her hands up. And, I mean, think about how big 7'3 is.
Sure.
Like, even when you're a tall woman at 6'3. And the verts are not quite, you know, the men's. So she's just, like, tipping the ball. She turns around untouched and just keeps the hands up. They taught her to keep the hands up. Don't bring the ball down. Just go up, lay up, glass. By the way, that's the other thing. Very fired up about it. Very fundamentally sound. I love the backboard.
I mean, he's no Muhammad DeBone, though.
I think she's legitimately 17. Isn't DeBone somewhere between 15 and 41? We haven't verified the age.
He's allegedly 6'10" at 12 years old, and he can like drop step effectively.
But he looks very mature facially and
yes,
body wise. So there you go. I can't wait till the next 50 comes out. We're going to break it down. You know what's funny? I don't really know how to break this list down because they did a coverall with sports accomplishments.
Yeah.
So if you want to put Aaron Rodgers a spot behind Asia Wilson, what, I'm going to start yelling and screaming?
You can't. I mean, what I liked about this list was seeing that. So, for example, like, I knew Asia Wilson was a decorated basketball player. And then you, like, spend 5 minutes reading her accomplishments, and you're like, oh, holy crap.
Well, and then again, I use the term, you know, cut me off at the pass. They neutered me. Let's not get too vicious. But with Charles Woodson, he's at 100 behind Asia Wilson at 91. I was like, Charles Woodson, a defensive player, won the Heisman. Nope, doesn't count. Was before 2000.
Oh, yeah.
That's the weird part, is the crossover accomplishments. Like, sorry, he or she did this back then. In the modern era, this is what counts.
I mean, I think having Aaron Rodgers as high as 91 is almost insulting. He hasn't really accomplished that much, if you think about it. You look at his list of accomplishments. The years
are championships the only measure?
No, but I'm even including. So he's a 4-time NFL MVP. They include 10-time Pro Bowler, which okay, come on,
hard to make a Pro Bowl.
Yeah, sure, it's the hardest thing in the world. And the All Pros, I guess, count, but Super Bowl MVP and then 475 passing touchdowns. In terms of like hardware awards, all those sort of things, Rodgers really hasn't had that in comparison to the person who's right above him. 2-time WNBA champ, 2023 Finals MVP, 2020 Olympic gold medals, 2-time WNBA MVP, 2-time WNBA Defensive Player of the Year, 2018 WNBA Rookie of the Year, 3-time All WNBA First Team, 2-time WNBA All the First Defensive Team, 2017 NCAA Champion, wow. Final Four Most Outstanding Player, and a 2018 Wade Trophy winner. I don't even know what the Wade Trophy is, but she's got it.
It's impressive.
It's crazy.
For 2 weeks now, and really going even further back, I've been talking about the Chiefs. And this year is the year they come back to the pack. This offseason has been a nightmare. And today we got visual evidence, more evidence. The Chiefs are going down. They're headed towards single-digit Winville. I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Summer League going down. UNLVtickets.com. Come on down here rest of the week into the weekend. League goes on until the 22nd. The tradition here in Las Vegas. John Von Tobel in today. He'll be in tomorrow. Nice enough to hop on. Doing his work, his fine work over at VSiN. At MeJVT up on Twitter. So I was saying earlier, stuff was coming in. We have all these ways of getting information, except the correct records of some NBA teams. I missed on that one, middle of the show. Georgia's a mess. The football program off the field.
Yeah.
They've had 24 driving violations over the years, including one that cost some folks their lives. Headline: Georgia grapples with driving violations as Kirby Smart says players are being fined from NIL payments. What? How does that work? And is that the right way to go? Get them in their pocketbook. Because you remember Gundy defended his Ollie Gordon decision. He's like, well, they're employees now, and you know they've got responsibilities, university, and other employees.
But they're not employees, right?
NIL payments. They're being fined from NIL payments. I thought NIL is here.
Correct.
The school is over here.
I mean,
what the hell is happening here?
It also I mean,
is that in? Is that in? I mean, Justin Watkins isn't on for a little while here. But, I mean, to me, this is a legal question. Wait, they're allowed to do that?
Well, it seems it's almost similar to – it feels like some of these coaches maybe don't understand how NIL works to that extent. Because remember, Spencer Danielson stepped in it when he had that whole thing, which is like, you got to earn your NIL when you come here. And then everybody came out and was like, well, you can't actually limit them taking NIL deals. If somebody from the outside comes in with a deal, they can take it if they want
to. Because we know what the truth is.
Yeah.
That's why they're stepping in the truth.
Yes. So in this instance,
that's what you're saying.
Somebody has to step in and be like, dude, you can't do that. I feel like that's illegal.
I don't know about illegal. I don't think it's legal. I would think that would have to be laid out in the contract that there's some kind of morals clause and
sure.
You get fined. And then is there, you know, a graduating system of how much you get fined for different violations? How about Georgia take care of the violations and Georgia take care of the players and Georgia drop the hammer? And in some cases, and I know they're not going to do it evenly, right, hand out dismissals. Send some guys off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're ready to do that. But here's the thing. Clearly, when you've had 24 speeding-related violations in your program, they're not getting the message. And I drive like a lunatic. I'm not one to really talk here, but I'm not on scholarship at Georgia. I'm not repping Georgia football.
The fact that they're all just very similar, you know what I mean, with the speeding violations, what goes on?
I don't know. You're not a big drag racer?
No.
Nor am I.
Not really.
I made sure that I downgraded a little bit to
Although I've got
in my first four cylinder, so getting off the line now, I'm like, yep, that's it. That's all it's got.
I've been in the car with you, though, once upon. That was kind of scary.
It is a little scary. I'm not. I drive aggressively.
Yeah, aggressive is a term for it.
Oh, is that right? Well, it's different than Georgia football.
Yeah. Yes.
That NIL thing is pretty fascinating. Thanks to the NBA and the Summer League for housing the show today. Great job with the setup. Back in the studio, Griffin.